We will begin our time together by turning in our Bible to Psalm 3, and we've begun to read consecutively through the Psalter. So, Psalm 3. And the title of this psalm is Save Me, O My God. And then we're told this is a psalm of David, and the occasion of this psalm is when he fled from Absalom, his son. Hear the word of God. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Thus far the reading of the psalm. And then we will turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And we will read verses 18 through 25. And this particular text will help us in our understanding of the Word of God in this afternoon hour. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. And when we think about Christmas, and I hope it's true for you, is that Christmas is a time of enjoyment for most people. And for many people in our community, not just the people who are here in church today, people plan and attend parties, Christmas parties, which sometimes can be a lot of fun and a lot of enjoyment because you see and meet people who you haven't seen for a while. We decorate our houses. And I would suspect that all of you have some sort of a decoration either in your house or outside your house. Some people go a little overboard on it, but it is enjoyable to decorate a house outside or inside. And then we attend Christmas concerts. And maybe since COVID, you don't attend as many concerts, but at least you look at some on TV, or you look at special shows on TV that are related to Christmas. And one of the things we do is we go to worship God in a church service, in a worship service around the time of Christmas. And lastly, we receive and we give gifts. Gifts is a big thing for Christmas. I read an article where some boys in India who were Hindus thought it was the greatest thing to give gifts. So a bunch of boys traded names and set a time that they would give gifts on Christmas, even though the Hindu culture doesn't believe in Christmas, but they thought they would do it anyway. And so it is very fun to give and receive gifts, and they enjoyed it tremendously without even knowing why they were doing it, other than they heard it was something they do in America. For unfortunately, Christmas is a time when most people are celebrating something they don't really understand. It's a cultural activity, perhaps. It's something we do here in America. It's an American holiday, it could be called. And so Joseph himself really didn't understand Christmas either. All of a sudden, Joseph found out that he was engaged to be married, and it was almost like a marriage had already happened in their culture, to a woman, Mary, who was pregnant. And he knew that he had nothing to do with that pregnancy. And Joseph must have been a very thoughtful, sensitive man, because we read in the scriptures that he planned to break off that engagement, and they called it a divorce, quietly. He didn't want to make a big commotion about that broken engagement. He just wanted to quietly go ahead with his life and let Mary deal with what she had to deal with. But as we just read, God intervened. God sent an angel to Joseph, and the angel explained, "Listen, Joseph, that baby's father was the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about Mary being pure. That baby was put in her by God. And secondly, that baby is going to be a boy." There were no ultrasounds at that time, but Joseph knew that he was going to have a son. And then the angel went on to say, "You are to name him Jesus." Joseph didn't even have to think about what family name this little boy was going to have to take. And then the angel said something really interesting. He said, "That baby is going to save his people from their sins." I don't think Joseph understood that very well, but he did understand that that was the purpose of this baby being born. This revelation must have shaken Joseph's faith to its roots. He believed in God, and he knew that God was out there, and he probably was a very good person in his particular society, and he understood who God was through the Old Testament. But in this incident, he found out that God knew him and that God had given him instructions directly. He had thought about God as being distant. He had thought about God as being all-powerful and majestic. And now God had come down to him to give him specific instructions. And he received a glimpse of what the plan of God was to deal with man's sins. And I'm sure he didn't understand how a baby who was in Mary's stomach, so to speak, growing there, was going to save man from their sins. Now, we don't know what kind of a father Joseph was to Jesus, but I suspect he was a good father, a father who taught Jesus a lot of things. We know for sure that Joseph taught Jesus how to be a carpenter or a builder. The word has been commonly translated as carpenter, but it has a broader context. Jesus was a builder. He was a person who knew how to work with wood, who knew how to construct buildings, I would suspect. Joseph taught him that. And we too can learn about the true meaning and value of Christmas by spending a few moments remembering why Jesus came to earth. And we'll probably understand much better than Joseph ever did because of what the Bible tells us. The birth of Jesus is very compelling. Think about it. Jesus was born to a lowly, poor family. They were on the road. They weren't even in their hometown when Jesus was born. They were in a place that they didn't want to be. They wanted to be in a house. Instead, they ended up in a stable. And the reality is that when Jesus was born, he was and is God. And we should really speak of Jesus in the present tense, but we're looking at Jesus as he was in Bethlehem. And so the entire New Testament of our Bible is written about Jesus and what happened because Jesus came to this earth. You cannot miss the name of Jesus in any of the books in the New Testament. He's there. They describe his life. They describe the impact he had on the early church. He is describing all kinds of things about life in the church. Now, don't you like to read about a story where a small baby is born and that baby has great potential and the story evolves that baby is going to have a very significant impact on the society that baby has been born in? We like those kind of stories. I'm thinking of the Lord of the Rings. The hero of the story of the Lord of the Rings is not the kings or the queens that you read about. The hero of that story was a very unlikely character where Tolkien populated his particular world with various groups of people, and one type of person was a hobbit. Hobbits were short, insignificant, just liked to be in their own land and take care of their own affairs and to live. And an unlikely hobbit, Sam and Frodo, are really the heroes of the story. We like that kind of story. And Tolkien purposely wrote that kind of story because he knew that in some way it was similar to what we're reading here today. But Jesus is not a superhero. Jesus is not an unlikely, lowly person. Jesus is God. And God was born on earth. And today, the crucial truth about the birth of Jesus is that we are saved by grace because God sent his Son to this earth. And we are saved by faith. And we have to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's nothing else. And the beginning of this plan of salvation began long, long ago, but it began to be fully implemented when Jesus was born. And so just for a few minutes today, I want to talk about a couple of the things that we can learn Jesus' birth. First of all, Jesus came to teach us about God. Secondly, Jesus came to take away our sins. And thirdly, Jesus came to tutor us as to how to live. When Joseph was confronted with the fact that God was different than he expected, God was a personal God, Joseph immediately obeyed. Even though his concept of God was totally changed, he took Mary to be his wife, knowing that that unborn child was more than a normal baby. And then Jesus was born, the same way babies are born. And when he was born, Jesus wasn't even in a home. He was in that shelter. And when he was born, God proclaimed his birth to the nearby shepherds, not in the city of Jerusalem, which was about 6 miles away. Jesus began teaching when he was around 30 years of age. So Jesus spent his youth in his hometown. Not Bethlehem, but Nazareth he ended up in. And his disciples began to see that Jesus was a very unusual man. The Apostle John has written, "We have heard him. We have seen with our own eyes. We looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." And when John talks about the word of life, concerning Jesus, and John's saying, we're proclaiming to you, Jesus was a real person. He lived on this earth. He was the one who was born in Bethlehem. He grew up. He had skills. And then he became a preacher and a teacher, and we were there with him. Oh, yeah. Thank you. How do you view God? Is God just a man upstairs, keeping an eye on things and yelling down when things get a little bit out of hand? If it gets really bad, he comes down and knocks some heads around. Or do you think that God is involved in lives? Mary and Joseph found out that God is a personal God. They saw God in a human form. They saw things that you and I will never see. They saw Jesus in that home. Jesus was an ordinary child in many ways. He needed to be cared for. He needed to be guided. He needed to be trained. Jesus is a person. And we can know him. And we can have fellowship with Jesus. When we read in John, we see that the Gospels describe Jesus as a man. And we see that the Gospels teach us that Jesus as a man showed love for people. If Jesus was here today, he was a very attractive person in many ways because of what he said. And so if Jesus was here, we would see that he showed love for people. He was a humble man, but he was brilliant. He was the kind of person that you like to go and hear him speak. If he was going to speak somewhere, you would have been a groupie. You would have gone to hear him. And he was really good at debate, especially with those religious scholars. He knew exactly what they were thinking. And we learn that this little baby born in Bethlehem grew up to be the most amazing person who has ever lived on this earth. And at Christmas, we are reminded that God went to great lengths to make himself known to people. We get a much better picture of who God is by reading the Gospels and seeing Jesus in action than we would if we just thought about God as that person up high and mighty. Jesus was on earth, and he looked around at his audience, and he saw that people there had issues. Jesus knew that, and he said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's why people wanted to hear Jesus. He was a real man. He was a man of compassion for the people. He knew how to deal with people where they were and what they were doing. He knew about life here on earth. Secondly, if we study the life of Jesus, we know that he is God. And we read many places where Jesus says, "I am God. Me, I and the Father are one." But then we see in the next line that Jesus was praying to the Father. And then we read in another place where Jesus said, "After I'm gone, I'm going to send you a comforter." When we think about Jesus here on earth, and we think about how he spoke of God the Father, how he spoke of the Comforter, we begin to realize that Jesus was teaching us theology. He's teaching us about who God is. God is a Trinity. And so we might say that there is one God in three persons. We might say that one of the persons, Jesus, has two natures. He is man and he is God. And we realize that not at his birth, because we don't understand too much about him at that point, but we understand when we read in the Gospels, we read in the epistles about Jesus. Now, you may have received a Christmas card this year from somebody. And on that Christmas card, there's a nativity scene. Or maybe you've gone to see what they call a live nativity, which I think is kind of interesting, where they try and reenact the birth of Jesus. Think for a few moments as to who that baby is in that nativity scene and why he was sent here. Pastor Harrison talked about why he was sent here this morning. God loved his people. He loved us so much that he sent his son to earth so that he would save his people from the sins. And so Jesus came to take away sin. And I will assert that Christmas is a time when most people are celebrating something they don't understand. And if we took that survey as to why people are celebrating Christmas, we might say, well, I like to celebrate Christmas because it brings my family and friends together and we can have a party. Or they might say, it's part of our national calendar and that's just what we do here in the United States or whatever country that they're from. And you'll see that various cultures have some interesting traditions that are associated with Christmas. Or it reminds me of the birth of Jesus. Or Christmas is a celebration of peace on earth and goodwill to men. We're starting to get a little closer. And you respond, well, the truth about Christmas is that Jesus came to earth to save sinners. People are saved by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And they might say back to you, well, that's you're talking about Easter. I'm talking about Christmas. You'll say, no. Christmas is the beginning of how Jesus came to live and to die for sinners. He had to start somewhere. He just didn't appear on earth as a man, all fully formed. No, he had to be born as a baby. He had to go through all the things that people go through as they mature and as they become fully human. And you might explain to a person who's not familiar with the gospel and talk about something that people don't like to talk about. And that something is that we are sinners. And I'm not talking about people who rob or loot or try and steal from old people or try and con you into buying something over the phone or whatever. I'm talking about you and me. We're sinners. There are some people who don't really believe that. I have some weaknesses. Yes, I agree. I have some proclivities. Maybe I should work on it a little. Okay, that's fine. But when you are speaking to someone about that baby Jesus and what the true meaning is, you have to come around to the topic that people are sinful and Jesus came to save people from their sin. That's one of the big reasons that Jesus came. All this other stuff is peripheral in some ways. Jesus is here because he was for sinners. So Christmas is for sinners. We see a picture that God very freely gave his son. And Pastor Harrison spoke about this morning. So Jesus came to teach us about God. Jesus came to take away our sins. And Jesus came to tutor us how to live. When Jesus was asked by someone, which commandment is the greatest? Jesus gave this as an answer. He said, the most important is, so here's the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is found in the book of Mark. But Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy. And the people who asked him the question said, that's a great answer, Jesus. That's something we've been saying our whole lives. That's the greatest commandment. Jesus was not giving a commandment that was new to the people. That commandment can be given to us today. You could get up every morning and say this, as some Jewish people still do. And you would not be wrong in saying that prayer every day when you get up in the morning or when you go to bed in the evening. And this is the guiding principle that Jesus taught us. Just as Moses taught the people in the desert near Mount Sinai that this is what they were supposed to live and they were supposed to remember, is the same for us. And Jesus was one who didn't teach his disciples how to live theoretically. He taught his disciples practically. And you might be familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure you are. And in the Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew 5 through 7, we find out that Jesus gives instructions about all kinds of practical aspects of life. In just a few chapters, the breadth of what Jesus speaks about is amazing. He talks about how to be blessed. Then he talks about how to handle anger, how to handle lust. Then he turns around and he says, here's how to pray. And then he says, how do you deal with anxiety? He talks to anxious people. Living a Christian life is a life that has impact on all aspects of our lives. There's nothing in our lives that would be new that wasn't thought of by Christ. And as you go through life, you will be able to find teachings that help us in everyday life circumstances. I can buy a little book that has a list of all kinds of circumstances in life, and then it has a dozen or so verses from the Bible that teach us how to handle that circumstance that how we should view that circumstance. Jesus was teaching the Bible to his disciples. And so the birth of Jesus was a beginning of bringing God on earth so that God could teach his people in such a way that they would understand that God is interested in you as an individual and how you live. And that's what we learn from Jesus' birth. Jesus just didn't come on earth and do his little thing and then leave. Jesus wanted us to learn. He tutored us in life. Jesus obeyed God. Joseph obeyed God. Joseph did as he was told. And as we contemplate the meaning of Christmas, contemplate what it means to live a life in accordance to Jesus' teaching. Based on Jesus' life, we know how to live. If you are uncertain what to do, you can read the scriptures. You can consult with others who are more knowledgeable than you. You can consult with experts. God has given us people that we can surround ourselves with who will help us in our Christian life. Think about the birth of Jesus for a moment, one more time before we close. In Matthew 2, we read that wise men from the east came. And what did they do when they found Jesus? They worshiped him. In Luke 2, we read that shepherds came to see Jesus in a manger. They were there on the night he was born. And I'm sure the Mother Mary is holding this little tiny baby by the manger, or the baby was sleeping in the manger. These shepherds were there. After they saw this baby, they praised and glorify God for the birth of this baby. Amazing, isn't it? But we go further. Joseph and Mary, to fulfill the law, went to the temple to dedicate Jesus. And when they were in the temple, this old man came to them. And when he saw Jesus, and I don't think the old man, he must have been there sitting on the steps or whatever, watching all the people coming and going out of the temple. He sees Jesus, he gets up, and he prophesies over the baby Jesus that this baby, this little squirmy boy who's in Mary's arms, tiny baby, how could he know? He said, this baby is going to be a savior. Out of all those people who went in and out of the temple with their babies, he chose Jesus as that savior. He was prompted by the Lord. And then Mary and Joseph didn't get much further. And this old lady, they call her a prophetess. She knew the word of God so well, she could just spout scripture. She came, she saw that baby, and she said, this baby is going to redeem Israel. How did she know that was the baby? When babies were coming in and out of the temple all the time to go through this ritual, she was prompted by God. How are you prompted at Christmas? When you see this baby, when you hear about the baby, when you read about the baby, when you contemplate the baby, that baby has a huge potential. And it's something very comforting to us that God so loved us that he sent his son into this world for us. It is that what I would call an indescribable gift that God has given to us. And the one thing that all of these, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon, and Anna, all of them were extremely glad to see Jesus. It was a high point of their lives. In fact, Anna said, "Now I can die." Simeon said, now I can rest in peace." They had seen what they had been waiting for. They had joy. We sang a song, "Joy to the World." Wonderful song. Do you have joy when you think about the birth of Jesus? Is it a joyful thought to you that Jesus was the Son of God, come down on this earth? It's meant to produce joy. And that's why Christmas should be a very joyful occasion for Christians, because God has given us this indescribable gift in a baby. We didn't ask for it. We weren't looking for it. But God gave it to us. And God worked in us so that once we got it, it was something that we appreciate. We value this gift that God has given to us. And so when you think about Christmas and the meaning of Christmas, think about how that birth of Jesus shows us something about God, what God is like. Think about how Jesus took away our sins. Even the beginning of how he came on earth was part of that plan. And then think about how Jesus taught us how to live. And I would just say, may you have a blessed Christmas day. There's nothing wrong with celebrating the day and doing all those things that's associated with Christmas, because God has given it to us as a gift.